Good morning, it's April 17th and this is your daily brief in UK news. Here's everything you need to know. In a landmark decision that could redefine the future of public health in the UK, the Parliament has approved Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's ambitious proposal to ban cigarette sales to anyone born after January 1st, 2009. This move, approved by a significant majority of 383 to 67, signals a bold step towards creating the first tobacco-free generation in the UK. However, the bill's journey through Parliament unveiled a sharp divide within the Conservative Party, with almost half of Sunak's own MPs not supporting the bill. Specifically, 57 Tories voted against the proposal, while 106 either abstained or were absent from the vote. High-profile opponents include MPs with leadership aspirations, such as Kemi Badenoch, Suella Braverman and Robert Jenrick, alongside former Prime Minister Liz Truss, who lambasted the bill as an instance of virtue signalling and criticised its proponents as nannying control freaks. The bill aims to progressively increase the legal age for purchasing tobacco products, directly addressing the surge in youth vaping alongside traditional smoking. Despite the internal Conservative backlash, citing concerns over personal freedom infringements, the Labour Party has thrown its support behind the measure. Nonetheless, the bill must navigate further legislative hurdles, including committee scrutiny and another vote, before potentially moving to the House of Lords. Amidst the political tumult, health advocates, including the chief executive of Action on Smoking and Health, are pressing for the bill's expedited passage to ensure it becomes law ahead of the next general election. Critics, however, warn of the potential for a burgeoning black market and argue that the legislation infantilises future generations, even as the bill stands as a testament to the UK's commitment to public health innovation. In a concerning turn for the UK's job market, the unemployment rate has climbed to its highest point in 6 months, reaching 4.2% in the 3 months leading up to February. This uptick in unemployment comes alongside a dip in job market participation, with the rate of employed individuals falling to 74.5% and a rise in economic inactivity to 22.2%. These shifts signal potential challenges ahead for the UK economy, which has seen a mere 0.1% growth in 2023, prompting discussions around the need for the Bank of England to adjust interest rates to stimulate economic activity. March witnessed a significant reduction in the number of workers on payrolls, dropping by 67,000, marking the largest decline since the pandemic's peak. This period also saw job vacancies decrease for the 21st consecutive time. Despite some signs of overall growth in the first quarter, the slowing pace of regular wages growth, which fell back to 6% from 6.1%, could influence the Monetary Policy Committee to consider lowering interest rates this summer. The rise in unemployment and economic inactivity is particularly troubling for the Bank of England, as it not only shrinks the workforce, but also pressures employers to offer higher wages to attract the remaining active job seekers. Adding to the concern is the increase of approximately 850,000 working-age individuals who are now jobless due to not seeking employment or being unable to work, with a noticeable uptick in long-term sickness among both younger and older workers. This situation paints a grim picture of the UK workforce as sicker and poorer, making it an outlier on the international stage. With the Bank of England's next monetary policy meeting scheduled for May 9th, there's a looming possibility of a summer interest rate cut to address these issues. This meeting will be critical in shaping the UK's economic response to its current workforce challenges and the broader implications for the nation's economic health. In a dramatic turn of events, the recent Iran attack on Israel has sent shockwaves through the aviation industry, leading to significant operational disruptions and heightened safety concerns. This development has forced airlines to re-evaluate their flight operations to and from the region, with some suspending services and others navigating the complexities of flying amidst rising tensions. EasyJet has taken the precautionary step of suspending all flights to Tel Aviv until at least October 27th, prioritising passenger safety amidst the uncertain security landscape. In contrast, Wizz Air, after initially cancelling flights, has resumed its operations to Tel Aviv, demonstrating the fluctuating nature of airline responses to the crisis. Meanwhile, British Airways continues its flights as scheduled, underscoring the varied approaches airlines are taking in response to the situation. The EU's Aviation Safety Agency has weighed in, stating that there was no immediate overflight risk for civil aviation on Saturday. However, the agency also issued a caution about the increased potential for miscalculation and misidentification in Iranian airspace, highlighting the complex risks airlines face in the region. This has led to widespread flight diversions and the temporary closure of skies over Iran, Iraq, Syria, Jordan, and Israel, affecting international air travel routes. Passengers caught in the crossfire of these disruptions are advised to stay in close contact with their airlines for the latest travel updates, as the situation remains fluid and the disruptions are expected to persist for several days. Despite the ongoing aviation turmoil, the Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Office has not issued any new travel advisories for the Middle East, leaving travellers to navigate the uncertain situation with caution. The ripple effects of the aviation disruptions have amplified concerns over a potential wider regional conflict. The international community, recognizing the gravity of the situation, has called for restraint from all parties involved, hoping to prevent further escalation in an already volatile region. In a significant step towards combating digital sexual abuse, the UK is setting a new precedent by outlawing the creation and distribution of non-consensual deepfake pornography. This move underscores a broader initiative to tackle the increasingly troubling phenomenon of deepfakes, which are digitally altered videos or images that appear convincingly real. The UK Ministry of Justice has taken a firm stance by introducing legislation that criminalises the creation and distribution of sexually explicit deepfake content without consent. Offenders now face stern repercussions, including the possibility of a criminal record, unlimited fines, and imprisonment. This legislation forms a critical part of the Online Safety Act, marking a pivotal moment in the UK's legislative efforts to address online safety concerns. The government's actions reflect a global urgency to mitigate the harmful impacts of deepfake technology, particularly its use in creating non-consensual pornographic material that undermines the dignity and safety of individuals, predominantly women. Similarly, the European Union is moving forward with a directive aimed at criminalising the creation of sexually explicit deepfakes, signalling a collective effort to clamp down on this abuse. In response to growing concerns, Meta, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, has initiated a review of its policies regarding deepfake content. This comes after the circulation of AI-generated explicit images of female public figures on its platforms, highlighting the pressing need for regulatory measures. While the UK takes decisive action, the devolved governments of Scotland and Northern Ireland have not yet announced plans to introduce equivalent legislation. This new law sends a clear message: the creation and distribution of non-consensual deepfake pornography will not be tolerated, arming law enforcement with the tools needed to enforce this stance rigorously. In an unprecedented turn of events, the UK faces a fresh vegetable shortage, a direct result of extreme weather patterns linked to climate change. Record rainfall, the highest in England since 1836, as reported by the Met Office, has left farmers grappling with waterlogged fields, unable to harvest or plant essential crops. This has necessitated an unusual spike in produce imports, including carrots from Israel, as domestic supplies dwindle. The adverse weather conditions extend beyond just an inconvenience. They've disrupted the very foundation of the UK's agricultural output. With fields too boggy for heavy machinery, farmers are reporting low crop yields and poor quality produce. This situation has also taken a toll on livestock, increasing the mortality rate among lambs and reducing milk production from dairy cows. As the UK faces the prospect of relying more heavily on food imports, challenges loom large on the horizon. Similar wet conditions in European countries and drought in Morocco threaten the availability of these imports, potentially leading to food inflation and higher supermarket prices. Experts are sounding the alarm on the sustainability of current food supply chains, highlighting the urgent need for emission reductions to mitigate the impacts of climate change. The chairman of the National Farmers Union in Lincolnshire has put a spotlight on the significant losses faced by farmers and the critical urgency to sow crops for the summer harvest. With time running out, there's a push for adopting more plant-based diets as a means to make the food system more resilient, while also addressing the need to lower emissions. This situation underscores the broader implications of climate change on food security and the economy, urging immediate action to prevent further instability. This has been your daily brief in UK news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.